Well, I want to just share a little word this morning on the power of the name of the Lord. And, you know, we're going to look at one specific name, but in Psalm 20, in verse 1, it says this. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, and the name of the God of Jacob defend thee." You know, the name of God, that it, you know, just his very name is an aspect that defends us in trouble. And, you know, this psalm would have been spoken by the congregation as David went out to battle, you know, with his army. And, you know, they said, "The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." And that literally means that the name of the Lord set you on high, set you in a high place. And, you know, we know the Bible talks about us being spiritual soldiers, you know, fighting the good fight of faith. And, you know, often when we fight battles, there's highs and lows. There's highs when we're doing well, right? When we're victorious, you know, then our spirit is high. But if the battle is overwhelming and doesn't seem to be going our way, then our spirits get low. But, you know, really what we see in the Word of God is that the Lord wants to lift us up in our battles and our difficulties and situations. And, you know, another psalm we see that in Psalm 91 in verse 14. And it says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high." Oh, look, here's another link to his name. I set him on high because he has known my name. And actually, this is the exact same Hebrew phrase there, that the name of the God of Jacob defends you. It's the same as "I will set you on high." You know, God wants to lift us up and set us in a high place. And, you know, the thought is kind of above all the chaos of the battle and the difficulty and the trouble and all of that confusion, the impression of the enemy. He wants to set us on high. And how does he do that? It says, "Because he has known my name." And, you know, there's a power that comes in experiencing and knowing the names of God. And of course, that's more than intellectually, right? We could study, we can read the book, Names of God, and we can know it all, memorize it. But we're talking about something more. We're talking about experience. In fact, the word for know means experience, to know by experience. And so there's many names of God that we can consider. There's many throughout Scripture. You know, even the basic name El, you know, like for El Shaddai, El means strong one, that he's our strength. And of course, another name is he's the strength of Israel. Or then there's the ones linked to Yahweh or Jehovah, right? Like Jehovah Rapha, which is our healer, or Jireh, our provider, or Shalom, our peace. You know, each of those are an opportunity to have an experience with God, to know his name, to have an impartation of who he is. And, you know, maybe we've been sick at one point and the Lord touched us, let healing flow to us. And so we might have already known Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And you know, once you've experienced that, it's like it puts you in a different position. Because when you know God's healed you, and you're sick again, it's like, well, hey, he healed me before. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. Because we've known his name. There's such power in that. But there's one specific name I just wanted to share on for a little bit with you this morning. And it relates to obtaining our victory in battle, in our spiritual battles. And it's related to what King David said in Psalm 20 and verse 5, Psalm 20 and verse 5 says, "In the name of our God will we set up our banners." Now, he's saying, here's the name of the Lord, and we're going to set our banner in his name. And, you know, banners really speak of victory, and actually in two ways. You know, in those ancient times, if one army defeated another army, you know what they do with their banners? They take them and put them in a nice place, like to display them. Here's all the people we've conquered. Here are their banners. And that was the ancient custom, kind of like the Philistines. They took the ark in battle and put it in their temple to display it. Look what we got in battle. And so, right, if the victorious army would capture the banners of the enemy, and it speaks of obtaining victory. But there's also that thought of what leads an army to victory is following the banner. Right? And so in olden days, the banner was basically just a flag tied to a pole. And the army would know to go forward in what direction they would follow the banner. The banner would lead them in the right way to fight the battle, to overcome. In fact, it was so important in, you know, even up to, you know, I don't know how many years ago when they stopped really carrying banners. I mean, definitely in the Civil War and so forth. But it was so important that if someone dropped the banner, that they would, the next person would just throw his weapons down, pick up the banner and keep going. Because if the banner was lost, no one would know where to go or what to do. And it was the rallying point for the whole army to follow. And in one sense, the Lord is our banner. And it's that thought that we're setting up the Lord as our rallying point, and He will lead us to ultimate victory. And so I want to look with you at that name specifically of the Lord. Is the Lord our banner? Now, we're going to read about the name as Jehovah Nissi, but it's speaking of the Lord who is our banner. And this is seen in Exodus 17. This is when Israel was journeying in the wilderness, and they faced an enemy called Amalek. And Joshua led the army to go out and fight against them. But Moses stood on the hill. You know the story where he had to hold up his staff, and as long as he held it up, they were victorious. So let's read this. I think it's five verses? Anyway, Exodus 17:11. It says, "It came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. But when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands got heavy, and they took a stone and they put it under him so he could sit on it. And then Aaron and Hur held up his hands on the one side and on the other until the going down of the sun." In verse 13, "And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." Verse 15, "And Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi," which means "the Lord, my banner." And, you know, it's really here. This is kind of an illustration of God being the banner who will lead us in triumph, who'll lead us in victory as we follow His ways, as we follow Him in the fight and into the fight at times. He leads us to victory. Now, there's a really neat story from ancient times. In fact, it's just a little bit before Christ, but it's a battle between the Romans and the Parthians. Now, Parthians were kind of related to the Persians, right? So modern-day Iran. And the Romans fought the Parthians in a place called Karahi. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It was in Turkey. It was about 53 BC, you know, a little 40 years before Christ. But up to this point, Rome had been the greatest force on earth. They didn't really lose. And so they thought, the Parthians, hey, we're going to, you know, wipe the map with them. But the Parthians had learned some new fighting techniques that Rome had not seen before. And basically they became experts in like psychological warfare and, you know, kind of making the enemy afraid. And so they had these huge drums covered with skins. And when they struck it, it just sounded kind of ominous. And then they were expert horsemen. So they would come on their horses, strike their battle line of the Romans and run away before the Romans could do anything. And, you know, the Romans were kind of shocked at how they weren't making any progress. In fact, they were slowly being defeated and eroded there. And finally, at noon, when the sun was the highest in the sky, the Parthians on their horses, they took these covers off their banners and they charged. And what shocked the Romans was these banners, they'd never seen anything like it. In fact, they were shining. It was like they were on fire as they rode down to the Romans. And at that point, the Romans broke rank and ran. And what happened was that was Europe's first encounter with silk. They had these shiny silk banners that reflected the rays of the sun. And, you know, they helped defeat the greatest army in the world up to that point because they had a different type of banner that was coming at them. But I just thought that was really kind of a neat illustration of how when we have the banner of Christ, the enemy will flee. The enemy can't stand before it, you know. Now, there's more to that story with the Parthians. It was their, you know, their tactics and their fact that they were expert horsemen and so forth. But it's a good picture of what happens to the enemy when we're coming at them. Like David came before Goliath. He had a banner. And he was able to say to him with boldness, you know, you have a shield and sword and, you know, the implication, yep, and you have size and you have power, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. He was coming in the power of Jehovah Nissi, the Lord, as his banner. And he just took care of Goliath. But the Lord wants us to know him as well as Jehovah Nissi, because it's the name of victory. And it kind of relates to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14. And he said, now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I love that verse and that phrase he uses, because there's not all, you know, we can make excuses about this, that, and the other for why we don't overcome or get victory. But Paul says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. You know, that's just an awesome statement. And, you know, that's the pathway that the Lord would lead us on. And I appreciated a story Pastor Jason shared of his time in Bible school. And there was a time when he was playing chess with some of the other students. And, you know, Pastor Bailey walked up and, you know, Pastor Bailey took one look at the board and he said to Jason, he said, oh, don't move there. Then you're going to be in a weak position. And come to find out, Pastor Bailey was on the chess team when he was growing up. So, of course. But, you know, so then, you know, Jason offers to play a game with Pastor Bailey. And, you know, Pastor Bailey, he gave an interesting reply. Now, he gave a very British reply, but he said this. He said, oh, no, thank you. He said, I don't play games. And then he said, I hear from God, and then I never lose. And of course, that's kind of shocking to hear as a Bible school student, but he was making a point. You know, you can play games in life, and sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose. But if you hear from God, and you follow his plan, you'll never lose in an eternal sense, right? Now, on the outward, we might seem like we're doing well or not well, but in the plan of God, we will never lose when we have him as our banner. And I haven't forgotten that story, because that's what God is offering to each of us. If we follow his plan, the leading of his Spirit, his word, his direction, his wisdom, we can never lose because we're on the winning side. Now, we might have hard battles and difficulties and so forth, but that's one of the wonderful things about the Lord, is he can lift us up to sit with him in heavenly places, to have a perspective above the battles. But the question remains is, how do we practically lift up the banner of Christ in our lives? Well, there's many ways we could say that you can do this, but I wanted to look at two ways. And, you know, the first one is coming back to Israel's battle with Amalek. And you remember what Moses had to do in that battle? When he lifted up his hands, they were winning. When his hands started to slip down, that's when Israel started to lose. And, you know, you might think, why in the world would that make a difference? Well, for Israel, that had nothing to do, right, with their winning other than God was telling them this. But God orchestrated that as a sign, as a message for us today. We only get victory when our hands are raised to the Lord. And of course, what do raised hands mean? That's universal in any language. I surrender. I yield. You know, closed hands, closed fists, lowered means we're ready for action. Raised hands, open fists, I surrender. And so it's that thought. The way to flow with the banner of Christ is that lifting up of our hands, of surrender, and coming to that place and staying in that place of surrender, of yielding to the way, to the will of God. And you know, really, that's what God's looking for his church, just to flow in that place of surrender, humility, meekness. That's what brings the victory. You know, there's that famous verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, and it's the cry of the heart of God, if my people, which are called by my name, oh, if they would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, all of that really is another way of saying, if they would surrender, if they would just keep their hands raised like Moses before Amalek, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. And it's not written there, but really what he's saying is, I will lead them into victory. I will make them to always triumph, because if they always keep their hands lifted. Of course, that's you know, the proviso of, you know, the Apostle Paul, because you automatically ask the question, well, if God's saying I always cause you to triumph, why are we not always triumphing? Well, are we keeping our hands raised and lifted to the Lord in surrender? And it's also that idea of lifting up is in the thought of prayer, right? Of crying out to God, that in order to obtain victory in whatever area we're passing through, we have to be so careful to keep our hands raised up to the Lord. And it's in that sense of crying out, saying, oh Lord, move, Lord, work. And so, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. Work in this situation for good. And, you know, Moses' hands might slip down, but they were there to be lifted up. And, you know, sometimes we need to be the Aaron and Hur for other people, as others are for us, to help them lift up the hands so that they can overcome. And, you know, in one sense, this is kind of an encouraging thought, because God's saying, if we would just lift our hands up and keep them lifted up to God, God does the rest. That's all we have to do. Just keep the hands lifted up, meaning keep that place, that position of surrender, of yielding, of crying out. Moses didn't do anything to fight that battle except lift his hands. And that's the message to us. God brings the victory. And, you know, he intervenes. You know, Jesus said this in Luke 18 and verse 7, shall not God avenge his own elect, his people, which cry day and night, who keep their hands lifted up, though he bear long with them? And so there's that thought, if we keep our hands lifted up to him, he will answer us. He'll avenge. He'll meet us. He'll take care of the opposition, the battle. He brings the victory. And it's that phrase, though he bear long with them, really what that means is he's waiting for the perfect timing to take the cover off the banner so that the enemy sees that and they flee in that perfect day. But the key is continuing day by day And if we do that, the only outcome is victory, according to God's plan. Now, the second aspect of lifting up the banner that's seen, you know, is in the enemy that they were facing. Because Jehovah Nissi was the one who fought against Amalek. Amalek, in scripture, that speaks of the flesh, really speaks of wrong desires, or, you know, our, you know, magnifying our will, lifting up or holding on to our will instead of the will of the Lord, things that will lead us off. You know, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And what was significant about Esau? Well, he loved the things of this life so much so that he despised the things of God. And, you know, sometimes God is long-suffering and he allows situations in our lives to cause us to lift up our hands, to cry out, "Oh Lord, help me, deliver me, give me victory in my life over Amalek, over the flesh." You know, because when our flesh is conquered, then we can carry the banner of victory and overcome in situation after situation. But, you know, before we can win battles in the kingdom of God, we have to win the battles in here, in our own lives. And so that comes through defeating Amalek. And, you know, I mentioned previously how in the battle, those who carried the banner, you know, they would be a rallying point for the army or that group in the army. The modern term for that refers to those who carried it were the color bearers. They carried the flag or the colors of their regiment or their group or so forth. And in history, this was actually a noble and a coveted position. If you were a color bearer, it was a place of honor. And in fact, the banner was so important, as I mentioned, that if the one got hit, then whoever was closest would throw down their weapon, pick up the colors, and go forward. Because if not, their whole army or their whole regiment could be defeated. And so it was picked up and it was considered a, you know, kind of an honor to carry it, but it was not exactly a healthy position, right? You would be targeted. In fact, there's one battle in the Civil War in Antietam where one regiment from New York, they lost 8 color bearers, either, you know, wounded or killed in the battle. One would fall, another one would pick it up and go forward, you know, but it was a sacrifice to pick up that banner. You know, they realized, "I'm probably giving up my life to pick up the banner and to go forward." But that's how they got the victory. That's how they overcame. And, you know, Amalek, as I mentioned, represents the works of the flesh. And there's an aspect to this that in order to get victory, It's dying to ourselves to lift up the banner. It's yielding to the work of the cross. Right? The cross brings death to our flesh, to the ways we want to go, our plans, and it yields to the voice of the Lord leading us in his way. You know, Christ said this in John 3:14. It says, "As the serpent," you know, as Christ, you know, kind of like that serpent lifted up in the wilderness, so Christ had to be lifted up, you know, speaking of the cross. And so that serpent speaks of our sin nature on the cross. And so to get the victory, our nature has to be lifted up on the cross. And so this is how the Lord wants to meet us as Jehovah Nissi and give us the victory, is to bring victory over the flesh in the kingdom of God within us. And, you know, and then when that happens, we can bring victory in spiritual battles. But if we put our trust and rest in the one who's leading us, in his word, in his guidance, in his conviction, we keep our hands lifted up to him and we cry out to him, he will always cause us to triumph. It kind of reminds me of the story, I'll just share this in closing here, of the story of Israel when they were facing the Assyrian invasion, the time of Hezekiah. And the Assyrians had surrounded Jerusalem, and they, you know, the Assyrians were making all sorts of threats, and they were even speaking in the Jews' language so that people on the wall could hear it and kind of trying to inject some fear into their hearts. So Hezekiah was speaking to the people, and it says this in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than that are with him." Now, that was a statement of faith, because that was not true, right? I mean, they were surrounded with a mighty army. But Hezekiah was looking with eyes of faith. And, you know, with God, with him, verse 8, "With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles." But then I want to notice this phrase. It says, "And the people rested themselves on the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah." And so Hezekiah was saying, you know, I'm not overlooking the fact that Assyria has a big army and that this is quite a battle. But, you know, and they're speaking big words. But what he did say is, "We have a bigger God, and he will be our banner of victory." And I love how it says the people just rested on his words. They entered into a rest by looking to the banner and trusting in him, fixing their eyes upon him. And that led them to victory. In fact, they didn't even have to do anything. They just had to keep their hands raised like Moses. And we know what the story was. They all went to sleep, and the next morning they woke up, and the whole Assyrian force, or at least 185,000 of them, died through the angel of the Lord. And, you know, the Lord led them to victory. Those are the kind of victories I like. You don't even have to do anything. You just have to keep your hands raised to the Lord, and he brings the victory. So I just want to leave this little thought with you of the power of the name of the Lord, and especially the Lord as our banner, you know. And this is a process that he wants to lead us through as individuals, as a church, as a fellowship, because we're going to face many battles in the days to come. And in fact, we're facing them today, right? There's many battles we are passing through. But if we can learn to call upon the name of the Lord, "Lord, you're our banner," and we lift up the banner of Christ, we call upon his name, recognizing that it involves keeping our hands raised, all right, crying out to him, not letting them slip down in that sense of losing our place of surrender, but, you know, keeping our hands lifted to him. "Lord, I surrender to your way, your will." Of course, that involves the cross, right? Dying to our own ways and our own will. But as we do that, we're saying, "Lord, take my will, lead me on your pathway so that I will never lose." That's the pathway he has. The Lord wants us to win because we're on the winning side. And he will always cause us to triumph from victory to victory. Kind of like King David. You know, he became king over Judah, and he experienced one victory after another, and his house became greater and greater, where the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. In one sense, that represents our whole spiritual life, as God brings us into that place where he wants to lead us from victory to victory, and Christ in us becomes so much greater, and our life, our will, becomes so much weaker and weaker. Lord, let that be so. Amen. Because we serve a God of victory, and we can experience that victory as we lift our hands to him, proclaim him our banner, and follow him in the way. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our banner. Lord, you are the one who has obtained the full, the total, and complete victory, and that we're on the winning side. Lord, we just rejoice in that. And so, Lord, we come to you. Lord, we acknowledge even times where, Lord, our hands have slipped down, and Lord, it's affected our victory. Lord, but we cry out to you, even for fresh grace today, Lord, to walk in your way. Lord, as even as we, Lord, sing in closing, Lord, we want to lift our hands to you and proclaim you as the Lord, our banner. And Lord, just even surrender in any area, Lord, would you lead us to even a new level of victory, Lord, in our lives, Lord, in surrendering to you and walking in your way, in following the Lamb wherever you would lead us. Lord, we just thank you. Oh, Lord, just meet with us now. Impart a new level of your victory, of grace, of strength to follow you. Lord, we proclaim you as King. We proclaim you as our banner. And we thank you that you will always cause us to triumph through the power of your name. We bless you. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.